We now move on to look at the documents focused on Los Angeles in 1965. Martin Luther King in Los Angeles is a report by Peter Gerald Fox Dalton, who is Consul General at Los Angeles, reporting on a speech made by Martin Luther King on the 25th of February. From the report of this speech, it is clear that King was still demanding legislative change as the main driver of political change. One can see that Dalton's antennae were working, in that he detected a certain smugness in the LA audience. We see here the outsider's tendency to question things. But the latter part of the comment is ironic, given the fact that the Watts riots broke out in Los Angeles in August of that year. In the California riots file folio jacket and the accompanying report, we see diplomatic approval of President Johnson's action following the Los Angeles riots. Johnson's reaction to the riots is a letter dated the 18th of August 65 from William Mortimer Drower, First Secretary Press Office, Washington, to Colin Mayhew in the American Department in the Foreign Office. He quotes an eloquent speech by President Johnson. Large, intractable social problems are referred to here. The gist is that Johnson is not going to be deflected by the rioting. He is going to press ahead with even greater vigour in the direction of the great society, the famous phrase used by Johnson in a speech on the 22nd of May, 1964. The LA riots in full is a thoughtful and detailed report about the riots dated the 31st of August, 65. Here is a noteworthy quote. To the majority of Los Angelinos, the riots came as a rude shock. Dalton, author of the report, makes a distinction between the struggle for civil rights and the reaction against economic deprivation. Look at paragraph 8, where he talks about a protest by the have-nots against the haves. Moderates and extremists is a letter from the British ambassador in Washington, Sir Patrick Dean, to Dalton in LA, dated 10th of September, 65. Dean thanks him for his excellent report of the 31st of August. Dean's letter includes an interesting reference to Britain's colonial experience. It is difficult not to draw a certain parallel with developments in the colonial field in Africa, whereby moderate African leaders who were able to negotiate sensibly staged constitutional advances with colonial governments were continually outbid by the more extreme nationalist leaders. I hope that this commentary will prove useful to you in the study of these richly rewarding documents.